I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is June 23rd, 2012. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, an article by Jin Schroeder entitled, "To Mel Gibson, Wake Up, Samson, the Media is Upon You." It begins, "A calculating woman armed with a tape recorder, that's our modern-day Delilah, accompanied by paparazzi Philistines in league to destroy a mighty warrior." Jin, by mighty warrior, you wouldn't be referring to that alcoholic, wife-beating anti-Semite Mel Gibson, would you? Her essay continues, "Mel sneered at Oksana Georgieva. You don't care." Jin writes, "I wonder if Samson spat out those same words to Delilah as the Philistines gouged out his eyes." Jin, after all the abuse your mighty warrior heaped upon her, why would it surprise you that she didn't care? I would be more surprised if she still did. Jin said, "Samson was deeply in lust. So was Mel." So Jin, you're really going to compare Samson to Mel Gibson? Let me guess. For your next analogy, you're going to compare Nelson Mandela to Bobby Brown. She said, "Both men were strayed and betrayed, but let us examine the bait." Okay, Jin, now I see your game. You're going to distract everyone's attention away from Mel by blaming the victim. How original. She continues, "As a Hollywood chauffeur, I've heard a parade of sirens chew men up, spit them out, and watch them crawl back begging for more. They know exactly what buttons to push, what words to say, and how to say them. Mel should have suspected the trap when the part Oksana was playing rang false to her history. Samson should have suspected the trap after Delilah's rehearsals to weaken and bind him. Men can be so blind. Samson had many women. So did Mel. Samson became obsessed with one and sacrificed everything for her. So did Mel." Jin, millions of people do that, both men and women. It's called love. It's been going on since the beginning of time. Jin writes, "Delilah was a home wrecker in league with an army. So was Oksana. With the media in tow, three previous husbands and Mel's wife in her wake." Jin, your analogy is breaking down rapidly. Gibson was already apart from his wife when he started seeing Oksana, so she was not a home wrecker. So according to you, anyone whom the media reports on is in league with them? She said, "Oksana delivered a poised performance and Gibson fell for it right on cue." Jin, and you would know that how? She said, "As disgusting as Mel's rant was, it's an all-too-common occurrence usually ignored as battered women forgive their abusers." Jin, so we should just ignore Mel's rants? We should forgive him because battered women forgive their abusers? Jin, I wonder how this essay would have sounded if you had been the one married to Mel. I think we can all figure that one out for ourselves. She said, "Those are the women deserving of real help, not three times divorced socialites standing to gain multi-millions, living in the homes of their manipulated sugar daddies." Dear judgmental Jin, let's enumerate your insults. She was divorced three times, so she was obviously a wicked woman. It certainly couldn't have been the fault of the men. Socialite is obviously meant as an insult, though I wasn't aware that there was a law against being one. By your standards, no woman could ever marry a wealthy man without risk being accused of trying to gain multi-millions. You don't say anything negative about the sugar daddy, but provide an excuse for them by assuming they were manipulated. Jin, that's a pretty impressive list of snobbish judgments for just one sentence. She continues, "No, this was the tortured realization of a man that he lost the best thing he ever had, his wife of 30 years and mother of his 7 children." Jin, your bias is so obvious. Instead of pointing out that his violent temper and alcohol abuse may have driven his first wife away, you phrase it euphemistically as, "he lost." She continues, "Robin, the essence of grace, recently said, 'Mel never engaged in any physical abuse of any kind toward me, before, during, or after our marriage. Mel was a wonderful and loving father.'" Jin, you are cherry-picking what you want your readers to see and avoiding the fact that if he was all that wonderful, why did she leave him? Let's face it, Jin, he didn't leave her. She writes, "Ever since The Passion of the Christ, a film that rocked an audience to its core and that Hollywood failed to understand, those enemies have waited to tear Mel to shreds." Jin, they didn't have to wait to tear him to shreds. He pretty much did that to himself. She said, "Samson paid a heavy price and Gibson will as well. But the work of the Holy Spirit and what he did through Mel and Samson is no less miraculous." Jin, I would consider the Holy Ghost miraculous if he could find a way to keep Mel sober. She said, "None of us are perfect aside from Christ, and we have a part in this. For who among us thought to pray for Mel after God used him in such a way, knowing the fury of the enemy crouched at his door?" Jin, why would talking to ourselves help Mel? If Mel is a major Christian as he claims, certainly he prays to God. If God wouldn't answer Mel's prayers, why would he answer ours? Jin said, "And Satan has his helpers." Jin, your little world is just full of all kinds of invisible, imaginary little dudes, isn't it? But this one makes a great scapegoat every time you people need to duck responsibility. She said, "Our mainstream media, playing these sound bites 24/7, naming Gibson as a racist while ignoring the new Black Panthers' call for the killing of cracker babies. Jin, you should know that you can't excuse bad behavior by pointing to other bad behavior. That is a dishonest distraction technique designed to draw attention away from Mel. Mel's racism has been documented and recorded. There is no way to deny the facts. So distraction is your only option." She said, "Most of us won't see Mel at future voting booths, but many of us will see swinging batons like Samir Shahbaz's if Obama's administration doesn't start upholding the law." Jin, so now it's Obama's fault? Who are you going to blame next, Peter Pan? She said, "Samson brought down the Colosseum, blind and bound in chains. But our faith is not in Samson or Mel Gibson. Our faith is in Christ." Speak for yourself, Jin. I don't have invisible friends. She said, "Pray he delivers us from the storm brewing on all horizons." Jin, and why would we do that? According to the Bible, that's that book that Christians never open, everything is created by God. Therefore, the storms come from him. If you don't believe me, just ask Pat Robertson. She said, "Pray for Israel, pray for Mel Gibson, and pray for your pastor." Jin, apparently all the prayers for Mel, and I imagine they number in the millions, have fallen on invisible deaf ears. Here's a question for you, Jin. Do you think Mel prays for Israel? If I had to make a wild guess, I would say yes. I would bet he prays that Israel becomes the first test site for Iran's first nuclear weapon. I'm just basing that on Mel's opinion of Jews, as recorded by the Philistines. I mean police officers. She concludes her essay, The greatest witnesses among us face the full brunt of darkness enraged. Our leaders seem strong, but they need his strength. And when our leaders fall, help them up again. And take heart, God has not forgotten us. Jin, it seems like the last 2,000 years indicate that he has. And now we move to the science segment. Today's article, five-limbed brittle stars move bilaterally like people. Brittle stars and people have something in common. They move in fundamentally similar ways. Though not bilaterally symmetrical like humans and many other animals, brittle stars have come up with a mechanism to choose any of its five limbs to direct its movement on the seabed. It's as if each arm can be the creature's front, capable of locomotion and charting direction. It appears that the brittle star, the humble five-limbed dragnet of the seabed, moves very similar to us. In a series of first-time experiments, researchers discovered that brittle stars, despite having no brain, move in very coordinated fashion, choosing a central arm to chart direction and then designating other limbs to propel it along. Yet when the brittle star wants to change direction, it designates a new front, meaning that it chooses a new center arm and two other limbs to move. The brittle stars have come up with a mechanism to choose any of its five limbs to be the central control, each capable of determining direction or pitching in to help it move. Many animals, including humans, are bilaterally symmetrical. They can be divided into matching halves by drawing a line down the center. In contrast, brittle stars are pentaradially symmetrical. There are five different ways to carve them into matching halves. Whereas bilateral symmetrical organisms have perfected locomotion by designating a head that charts direction and then commands other body parts to follow suit, radial symmetrical animals have no such central directional control. Even though their bodies are radially symmetrical, they can define a front and basically behave as if they're bilaterally symmetrical and reap the advantages of bilateral symmetry. For an animal that doesn't have a central brain, they're pretty remarkable. Scientists decided to study brittle stars after noticing that their appendages acted much like a snake's body, capable of coiling and unfurling from about any angle. Yet when researchers watched brittle stars move about, they couldn't figure out how the individual arms were coordinating. There's no obvious front. To move, brittle stars usually designate one arm as the front, depending on which direction it seeks to go. An arm on either side of the central arm then begins a rowing motion, much like a sea turtle. The entire sequence of movement takes about 2 seconds. They're pretty slow in general. To turn, the brittle star chooses a new center arm and the accompanying rowing arms to move it along. If bilateral animals need to turn, they need to not only change the direction of movement, but also to rotate their bodies. Brittle stars don't have to rotate their bodies. Oddly, the brittle star also chooses another type of locomotion that to bilaterals would appear to be moving backwards, about a quarter of the time. In this motion, the animal keeps the same front, but now designates the non-forward rowing motion limbs to move it. The question then is, why doesn't the brittle star define a new front and simply move forward? Researchers think it might be the relative stimulus strength on the arms. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Born 1958, he is 54 years old. Tyson is an American astrophysicist and science communicator. He is currently the director of the Hayden Planetarium at the Rose Center for Earth and Space, and a research associate in the Department of Astrophysics at the American Museum of Natural History. Since 2006, he has hosted the educational science television show NOVA Science Now on PBS, and has been a frequent guest on The Daily Show, The Colbert Report, Real Time with Bill Maher, and Jeopardy. It was announced that Tyson will be hosting a new sequel to Carl Sagan's Cosmos, a personal voyage television series. And now for the quote from Neil deGrasse Tyson. This case is not about the need to separate church and state. It's about the need to separate ignorant, scientifically illiterate people from the ranks of teachers.
Are you ready, Bruce?